Hi.
Hello.
Hello and hi.
Hello and hi.
And in addition, hi. I was trying to think of like some moon related.
Oh, because of the eclipse?
Because of the eclipse.
But it's a solar eclipse.
Oh, fuck.
The lunar eclipse just already happened. It already happened weeks ago.
And that is why this podcast, you will never, we aren't afraid to, you know, to challenge each other.
Totally.
To push back and say, I would like to kind of offer another insight.
Is that still, when I was in college, offering pushback was huge. Is that still a thing, like for graduate studies? Or was that like culturally 2012? Was offering pushback a cultural moment, or is it just something that happens in academia?
I got offer pushback from you. And so I say that as a joke now, and I don't know.
Oh, okay. So that must have been either a cultural moment or a Quaker thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or a Quaker thing.
So I went to a Quaker college. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what they say because, you know, folklore, I don't know. We don't really do that.
Offer pushback. It is a helpful.
I like it.
I like it too.
I mean, instead of being like, that's the fucking stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. I mean, and often people are like, oh, how do you say this in a professional? It's like, offer pushback is huge in a professional context, or like any context where you can't just be like, are you fucking serious?
Yeah. There's this person in my union who I love a lot, who is just a beloved character, but said, famously now in a bargaining, they were talking to each other, the bargaining team, and said, that's a good idea. A better idea is, and I was like, love that so much.
Wow.
I want to say that for the rest of my life.
That's so.
A better idea. Oh God, it's so good. It's like, so like, it's like following like what you're supposed to, it's like affirming someone's.
Yeah.
Point of view, and then offering perhaps another, you know, more informed, whatever. So fucking funny though.
That's a good idea. A better idea would be, I'm obsessed with that and will be using that 100 times a day starting out.
So yeah, there you go. Yeah, see, so I did get something out of my degree. Hey everyone, and welcome to FOH. I am lunar and solar expert Lillian Devane.
I'm Kelly Sullivan.
And this is a service industry podcast.
It sure is.
Always has been moon meme with an astronaut with a gun.
Yeah.
I miss that. I miss that.
That format.
Meme. And I miss that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I legitimately was in bed today being like, I miss old Twitter. I literally was thinking about Twitter as I was like,
yeah, in a, you like, know, mournful. I and do I miss old Twitter. You. That's really valid.
It was so fun. It was so fun.
Yeah.
And just, like, I was like, oh, what's going on in the world? Let me get on Twitter.
Yeah.
Crazy. And now I say it's all fake news.
It's, you all know? Fake news. And now I'm just reading the cards, tarot cards. Runes. Yeah,
the tea leaves. And I'm gonna go, I'm fucking cocking my gun and I'm going to the eclipse.
That's the real
tomorrow,
name.
And I'm fucking
martial law at the eclipse. Apparently it is because in Western New York you can see it with like 100% totality.
Yeah,
and
so
they are like it also, they did a mapping of Airbnbs over the like direct course of the eclipse, and it's like at 100% booked occupancy, all the Airbnbs, all the hotel rooms, everything. So they are telling local residents of like Buffalo, New York, to prepare for it as if it is like a winter storm, essentially. Like they're like, 2 weeks out, they were like stocking canned goods now because the grocery stores are going to be like cleaned out. Like if you're a bottled water drinker, go ahead and get that bottled water a month out. Like it's not going to be in the stores.
They're like, hey, Buffalo, finally something's happening here. You should be afraid.
Get fucking ready.
How many people do you think are going to try to like conceive at the moment of the eclipse?
A lot.
Yeah, I would think that's a thing.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, if I were already like trying to have a kid, why not be spooky about it?
Yeah, for sure. And maybe they're imbued with special powers, of course. I mean, like,
they're born with a call or whatever.
Born in the call. Yes. Wonderful. Wonderful. Like Julius Caesar. Wonderful. I'm pretty sure it's Julius Caesar.
That, yeah. That,
or it could have been Alexander. I'm not sure.
It's one of the greats.
It's a very mystical. I will say my mother, who is a physician, was
for new listeners.
We used to work in an ER, and so was kind of jack of all trades, did a little bit of everything. Worked in an ER in, on the South Side in Chicago, and delivered a baby who was in the call, and was like so overwhelmed, so amazed by it to the mother and to the like attending physician was like, this is the most incredible thing that's ever happened to me or to anyone. And basically kind of what she explained, now my mom, now I'm kind of outing my mom as kind of incel mentality, but she was like, kind of a way that babies can be born in the call is if essentially like their moms have had so many babies that there's not a lot of resistance left in this, the old vaginal canal. And got so it. She was like, this is a South Side Irish woman. It was like her eighth child. And my mom was like, look.
She's worn out.
And because part of it is basically the babies don't get squished. So they're right. Like beautiful and they're all covered in, they're gorgeous and they're stunning. Yeah. And my mom was like, you have them. And the woman was like, I don't care. Like just literally was like, yeah, I'm sure. Whatever. Because she's had.
She's like, can you fucking up the goddamn meds?
Yeah,
lady?
She's like, give me some gabapentin.
I'm pressing this button and nothing's happening.
Like, my mom's like, you have an angel. She's like, you want him? Take him.
God, if I fucking had a baby and it wasn't born in the call, I would kill myself. I would be so pissed.
I have to be honest with you. If you have a baby, it's not going to be born in the call.
Why? I should be able to pay for that. There should be
a service,
like a boutique service.
Like instead of it's not just dilation, it's like give me the goods. You know, get me wide.
Give me the works. Give me the fully loaded. I want the loaded fucking you know potato version.
You need to get. They should do dilation based on A for money. And B, it should be like Cold Stone Creamery sizes where it's like, give me the I gotta have it dilation. As wide as it goes.
My God. Wow. Okay. Well, Kelly, do you have any service stories you want to share?
I actually do. Okay. I don't know if it's the retrograde, if it's the we're in between two eclipses, if it's Aries season. I don't know what the hell's going on.
A lot.
Things have been crazy, including on Friday night, I am floor managing. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I don't have specific eyes on the bar, but there's this guy who comes in solo around like 5 or 6 o'clock, I would say, like early in the night. And he's like, I'm just going to grab like a beer or two. And then I'm going to go. Fine.
Yeah.
Two girls sit next to him. My first interaction with him is like, I go to one of the girls sitting next to him and I say, would you like another drink? And he's like, I'll be paying for that. Like, he's like, put it on my tab. And I was like, okay. which also, like, Lillian, you've been to the restaurant. It's not really like a, because it's a restaurant, first and foremost. It's not really like a, I'll be buying her a drink. It's not a place
the lady at the end of the bar. Yeah, the gentleman sent you. Yeah.
Yeah. Not really that style, but totally fine. And also, it's obviously happened before. And also, obviously, I don't care. Sure, I'll put this on your check. So I say, okay, no problem. I go to the bartender. I'm like, just, you know, I'm putting this on bar 8, but it's actually for bar 9, whatever. The bartender was like, yeah, that guy's like, I'm keeping my eye. Like, she was like, he's being a little weird. I was like, totally. But then he closes out. And so we say, you know, when you close out, there's sort of a implied contract that you'll be leaving. And he doesn't, but the bartender is like, A, it's a Friday night, and by now it is in the 7 o'clock hour, probably 7:15, picking up for sure. And so the bartender is like, you closed out, like, I'm not thinking about you anymore. I'm not looking at you, not spitefully, but we're done here. And then at one point he kind of puts both hands in the air, and the bartender comes over and is like, what? Like, do you need something? And he was like, yeah, I wanted to get another beer. And she was like, okay, like, sure, I'll get you another beer. And then she gives him the beer, and then he like puts $20 under a candle, but doesn't like hand it to her. So then she comes over, she's like clearing something else, and she was like, kind of says to, I think, like, the person, like, whatever, is like, was this like, they left this here, like, just making sure that this isn't like someone's $20, doing her due diligence. And he's like, no, it's from me. Sorry, I was being rude. And she was like, yeah, you were being, like, whatever, it's fine. And then by now he is fully bothering the women that he previously bought a drink for. And they were kind of like, haha, thanks, bud. Like, cool, good vibes. And so she says to me, she's like, I can tell he's bothering them. I'm going to go check on them. And I was like, yeah, just let me know if we need to kick him out. I was like, I'll do it. I'm happy to do it. I don't mind doing it. And she's like, I'm just going to check on them. She was like, I don't even think it's that serious, but I just want to make sure. I was like, great. The GM is also there. So I go to the GM. I'm like, just, I want you to have eyes on this situation too. Anyway, it comes to pass that the girls are like, yeah, actually, we would really appreciate you asking him to leave. So the GM just goes and says, hey, man, you know, we really appreciate you coming in, and really framed it as like, you said you were going to stay for a couple of beers, and we do have a wait list going, and we just need the seat back. And, you know, you know, we'd love to host you another time or whatever. He is like, fine, I'll leave. But I came in with a coat, which he didn't. And so he's like kind of like stalking around the restaurant looking for his coat, which is like, you didn't come in with a coat. Like, we don't have a coat check. Like, there's just like nowhere it could be. We don't have a coat check. We don't have a coat rack. We don't have nothing. We have hooks under the bar. You could have hooked it, but it would be under you. You didn't come in wearing a coat. And he's just wasted at this point. And then the host, foolishly, but he is a 22-year-old man, walks up to him and is like, hey, man, like, you gotta go. And he was like, we asked you to leave. Like, he was like, I don't know about this coat situation. And then the guy like turns on the host and he goes, so funny. He goes, you fucking pussy. You're a fucking pussy. You have a pussy. You don't have a penis, which is hilarious. Obviously hilarious. And then at this point, also, one of the servers has told the kitchen, which is three men who are training an additional man, training, he doesn't fully work here yet. All four of them come out of the kitchen. Not a morsel of food is coming out of the kitchen. All four of them, because they're like, to be fair, it's like all women on the floor, except for like a gay male server and the 22-year-old host. So they're like, we're gonna like go protect our girls, which is very sweet. And then so they like come out, and then they're like kind of like, we'll take over this confrontation and like pull him outside. And then he's like going in on the kitchen guys, including the guy who's just training, and he's going in. And then so finally they're just like, okay, like, we're just gonna have to call the cops. Like, if you can't just like leave like a normal person. By the way, all of this is happening like 8 o'clock. It's about 8 p.m. at this time.
That's totally insane. Yeah.
And finally, like, once they start threatening to call the cops, he's like, fine, I'll leave. And then he leaves. And then of course, at this point, when the whole kitchen comes out of the kitchen, the whole restaurant is like, what the fuck is going on? It's truly one of the funniest.
Wow.
One of the funniest. And then also happened to walk by a three top of, like, just East Village Bros, which is a lot of the clientele of the restaurant that I work at. And they're like, I like the vibe of this place. immediately in response to that. I like the vibe of this place.
Of course. They're like, yeah, you like never, like, they're like fucking tussling, dude. Yeah. They're like, it's like anything. It's like, you never fucking know what's going to happen. Like, they throw down. Like, they don't give a fuck. That's so funny. Holy so shit.
Funny. It was actually like so funny and weird, and like also because at no point was I ever like, and I don't think anyone felt
threatened
of, like, by this, like,
bodily.
Yeah, it was like,
I mean, sorry, it is cool when guys do that. I love it.
No, of course. And I was like, oh my god, like,
it's sweet when they like are like, now's my time to shine.
They really like stuff, right. And I was like, yeah. Also, I was like, that's really funny that they are. Yeah, that they all came out, and then obviously they let the guy who was training go home after that. They're like, you don't have to, like, keep staying out here. And I really do hope that there was, like, one cook who really, like, took charge. And I was like, I really hope they gave him, like, $100 or something just to be like, that was nice. You didn't have to do that.
Well, clearly you guys weren't doing a good enough job. So now back of house has to also handle front right, of house
exactly.
shit.
Like, why couldn't that be handled? Like, why couldn't we have, first of all, it sounds like he was overserved.
I think we're going to have an all staff about this, mm-hmm. because clearly there's some things kind of, you know, that's insane. Holy shit.
No, what it really was. And just truly, like, I mean, you can't avoid having those confrontations every once in a while, but this is a restaurant that closes at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Super easy. Most people
on guard to, like, yeah.
Most people are super chill. Quick turn times, closes early. Like, it's just like, it's usually just doesn't happen that people have the ability to get that fucked up there. So
right, there's not enough time.
There's simply not enough time in the day. Well, wild one.
But also sounds, I mean, it's so interesting because, like, obviously the bartender immediately had a feeling. Which is just, like, how it happens. We're like, I don't know. Something weird about this one. You
right.
know what I mean?
Because you're just, like, there's just something off about,
there's,
like,
always,
the person who's gonna do that, there is something off about them always.
From the very beginning, yeah.
Because here's the thing, is, like, I've been told to leave bars before. And guess what? At that point, even in a blackout, I've been like, they're probably raising a couple points. I'm a little, it might be time for me to head home and get into bed. You know what I mean? Even wasted, I'm like, you're right. Like, I'm never like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
And the only exception is one time when I promised Lillian that I would take a car home. And then I was like, look, he's here. My Uber. I gotta go. And then just walked to the G train.
Kelly's, like, for no fucking reason, absolute determination to never get a car home when she's fully blackout drunk and miles away from her home at, like, 4 a.m. is just, like, would make me so fucking mad.
I would be like...
But ultimately, you're only punishing yourself because you're waiting on the train platform in the freezing cold for hours.
No, yeah, it's like horrible.
It's a nightmare. Anyways... and also remembering the time after that fucking cursed staff party where we had to weaken a Bernie's you into that last bar. Yeah. I was like, don't say a fucking word or they are going to kick you out of this before, like, you even get in. Oh boy. Different times. I don't know if I've ever been asked to leave. I'm sure someone wished I would leave for sure. You know? But yeah, bucket list for sure.
Bucket list. Hey, put it on the old bucket list.
Okay. Shit, we gotta get on this.
Okay. Sorry, my story took too long.
No. I'm just for your, I know you have to be somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, as I feel the cultural sort of the waves that come and go with it are, you know, in sync with this podcast. Or maybe I just don't pay attention to anything that's going on until I can. But to me,
true.
To me, it seems that now that we're back, people are being bad again, and things are, you know, there's the news is you know,
they're stirring it up for our sakes.
Exactly. So we are in the pockets of, you know, food media per usual. David Chang is making waves once again.
All right.
Can I just say, David Chang is, I believe, 46 years old. He looks like shit. Bro looks like shit.
He looks and bad. Like,
you know, as someone who doesn't have always the healthiest lifestyle, I sympathize. But once you, like, hit a certain age, like, it really starts to show. And anyone who works in a restaurant, simply walk to the back of house and see if anyone's over 30 and then be like, yeah, okay. Like, you, the booze and the food, you got to pick one and you got to be able to, like, you know, balance it out from time to time. Anyway, he looks like shit. I saw him eating. We ate a table away from each other once at Via Carota. Just a sack of shit.
Yeah, I think we've talked about on this podcast, like, other aspersions that people have cast against him. Yes. Just him being
the Lucky Peach stuff.
Yeah, right? Like, he just seems like a true dickhead.
Yeah.
Asshole. And also, like, I just think in this sort of interim of, like, unfortunately for him, exists in the interim being, like, Gen X, in between the interim of being able to be, like, the big dick chef and be like, I'm just, like, flexing on all these guys. Like, all these guys are my sons. Like, fuck you. I can do what I want. I can slap asses if I want. I can be wasted if I want. And also be the kind of millennial chef, which is like, I'm learning from everyone, like, horizontal leadership, da 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 da. Like, it's all about creativity. Yeah. And he just kind of, like, had to, like, wrench himself right in the middle. And he has not done it gracefully, where it's like, okay, like, yeah, like, I'm gonna have a woman som at Co. And then he's like, and I'm gonna, like, berate her and never give her credit and make her life a living hell. And, you know, like, just piece of shit guy.
Yeah, and I feel like he kind of, again, could be completely my, you know, relationship to food media. But I do feel like he's been kind of quieter. He's been shilling his fucking packaged noodles and whatever the fuck, like, his food products. I feel like a couple of his restaurants have closed.
For
right?
sure.
Like,
it's like, I think he only has Noodle Bar left in New York.
Really?
And I think, like, the
chicken, like, a Las Vegas one or something.
I think he has other stuff, but I do think it is all VC bat. Like, I think he only has, I think this is true. I don't know, actually. I think he still has Noodle Bar in New York, which is, like, the ramen restaurant, whatever. Yeah, I have personally not been since, like, 2013.
Same.
And then the, like, big chicken sandwiches.
Right.
But I think those are only, like, I don't think there's a brick and mortar for that. Like, I think there are stands at, like, Mets Stadium and...
Yeah, I mean, it obviously became a brand, right? And so, but the story about David Chang specifically this week was that he and his whatever company decided to trademark Chili Crunch, the condiment, the name specifically, and then send cease and desist letters to the many different companies who also and have always and forever made Chili Crunch, Chili Crisp, what have you. Which is like, it's like ketchup or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like,
right. I mean,
fucking, like, just
the Times covered it. And that's essentially what they're saying is, like, it's like saying, like, I own mustard.
Right.
Like, mustard. Right. I make mustard.
Yep. And you cannot make mustard. So
If you want to make mustard, like, you have to sell it under different verbiage.
And granted, you have been making mustard for 15 years, but I'm going to have to go ahead and tell you not to make it anymore. So a rebrand is in effect for you.
I will say, I think the evidence that, in spite of him, because I agree with you, I think he's been laying low, and I think he used to get a lot of joy, obviously, out of doing media appearances and doing, you know, Mind of a Chef, and then also like going on Jimmy Fallon and doing Chilling with Aziz Ansari and Eric Wareheim, and like like, and obviously he's laid back on that, I think, since people were like, yeah, this guy fucking sucks to work for and is an asshole and a piece of shit. And the way that you can tell that he definitely was an asshole and a piece of shit, and that wasn't just something that people were writing about to get clicks, is because the immediate fervor over this lawsuit.
Yeah.
The immediate way that, like, it was, this broke in The Guardian and has been aggregated out and tweeted about and TikToked and whatever so far, so much, because obviously people are just like, hate this guy.
Yeah.
Which is great.
They're like, and this, and like, legitimately a dumb, shitty thing to do, but you're right. Like, people were like, I fucking told you, this fucking asshole. Like, they couldn't wait.
Yeah, I was like,
this is just like, and also, like, legitimate, like, business owners got quotes being like, this fucking sucks for me personally as someone who makes this pro. Like, it's like, it's also like, it's not just like sending this off to big corporations, big, you know, food subsidiary. It's like a woman who makes this is like, yeah, this sucks for me. So it's like, just has a real, like, personal face to this, like, a consequence, which is just like, also, it just, anyways. Everyone cannot wait. So
I just think,
step back into the shadows, my guy.
For me personally.
Yes.
Obviously, it is just simply stupid to try to copyright something like Chili Crisp. And, like, I don't obviously know the legislation on IP and branding and everything like that. But I just, there's not, it's hard for me to imagine a world where, like, a judge would be like, uphold a trademark like Chili Crisp, and wouldn't just be like, obviously you can't trademark that, it's a too broad to trademark.
Yeah.
The flip side, and the way that I have to sadly talk like a real commie sometimes, is that, let's, like, go, the idea that these are things that can have sole ownership is so crazy, because it's just not the way that food works. And even if you design a recipe, like, even, like, because it happens every once in a while, someone will write into the restaurant and be like, can I have the recipe for this drink? And I'm always like, yeah, first of all,
yeah,
it's gonna be annoying to make at home, so I don't care. Like, there's a reason you go to a bar and buy a drink, because someone can spend a lot more time making it. But also, I'm like, the idea of, like, even a recipe I write, me being like the sole creative input into that, is crazy, because it's like, okay, you trained me how to bartend, and then other people have shown me different tricks, and I watch cocktail TikToks, and reps will bring in products, and I'll walk through the farmer's market. And you know what I mean? Like, the way that a recipe develops is not singular. And so beyond anything else, the idea,
I hope some food media execs are listening, because Kelly is kind of painting is, this is a beautiful story. I this is compelling television. Anyways, continue.
Just crazy to me. It's like, so, like, you actually have to be such a delusional narcissist to be like, I am the sole inventor of anything, but especially of a recipe.
Of course. It's just so transparent. It's just like the most greedy, capitalistic, like individualistic. It's just all of those things in one little fucking action. It's like, and it's so just fucked up and disgusting. And yeah, like so indicative of a worldview and of a person. It's just like, yeah, it's hideous. Absolutely. David Chang, eat shit and die, my friend. Signed.
Everyone else. Everyone who's ever interacted with
you. And like, honestly, it's so pathetic. Somebody like him, somebody like Elon Musk. If you have so much money and you look like shit, you're a fucking idiot. I wouldn't trust anybody who looks like a fucking sack of shit and has a ton of money. You're like, use it, dude.
Completely you're so fucking lazy. Agree.
You are so fucking lazy because somebody could come to your house, do everything for you, tell you what to eat, make all your meals. You do your little fucking training and you live your life and then you look hot and you get a couple procedures done. Bang, bang, you're fucking hot.
Hello,
you're
are such you a crazy?
Fucking lazy idiot.
We talk about it all the time on this podcast, but I just cannot keep underscoring it enough. Okay, first of all, pro athletes are a great example of this because they are all getting literally millions of dollars of work done constantly and nobody talks yeah. about it because they don't talk about it and they just go on their little sports shows and they talk about sports and then every so often they'll pop up on a red carpet and people will be like, oh my God, they look amazing. Like, look at this. And it's like, yeah, like you do, they're using their money correctly and they don't have enough eyes on them for everyone to be like, wait, why is his hairline different?
Dude, like Tom Brady? I was on the forefront. Nobody cares. But I was on the forefront of this whole thing like 6 years ago when I would post shit about men getting plastic surgery, specifically Tom Brady. And men would get so fucking mad at me when I would just be like, Tom Brady has clearly had work done. Here's a before and after. There's really no denying it. And he looks good. Like, whatever. I mean, like, not to anymore. Me, but you know what I mean? Not anymore. But like, yeah, it's so interesting. And I'm like, there's no fucking like, not to be like, there's no shame in, but like kind of. And also like, that's what he should be doing. If you want to look hotter and you have the money to do it, then like do it. I don't give a fuck. But anyways, it is just really funny how everyone is in denial specifically about, you know, men getting right, work
done. And Paul Rudd is like another famous example of it where people are like, yeah. He just looks amazing for his age. It's like, yeah, because he's like a really skilled surgeon and esthetician.
Yeah.
Yeah. He works with a great injector.
Yes.
It's yeah. Okay.
Should I get like my lips done a little bit?
I mean, I personally love it. And I do think it makes you look more youthful.
I just saw a picture of myself the other night and I was like,
I don't think you need it, but I think it does make you look.
Teeth are so prominent. Like, I feel like when you get older, your teeth. I have never
thought that about, yeah.
Well, like your lips get smaller and then your teeth stick out more. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's why I think it makes, I mean, I think that it, for me, it does double duty having lip injections because it's like, obviously now I have two lips, which is great. Great progress. And.
Well, yours was basically like a cleft palate situation.
Yeah, it was bad. And
it's
also,
like a million miles of smiles for Kelly. We had to like raise money, March of Dimes yeah. to get Kelly's lips done.
And then it does make you look more youthful because you have like a, it's like, you it's you have full.
Like the baboon ass or whatever. Yeah,
you have a beautiful full mouth. Yeah, just do
listeners,
it.
Listeners, reach out. Should I get half a syringe? Just let me know.
You could even start with a quarter.
I'm just scared somebody's going to do it and it's going to fuck up my face forever. And I don't believe people when they say it goes away.
Well, why don't you just start with a quarter then?
Because you have to pay for the whole thing.
You know.
All right. I'll ask my lady.
Ask your lady. My lady does. It's like as you step down, it is more expensive. Like a full yeah. one is $1,000. A half one is $600 and a quarter is. Like,
God damn.
You know, I don't know. $375 or something, but you can still buy just a quarter. It just is more expensive. Like the cheapest is a full syringe.
If I had a baby in the call, I couldn't afford to get Botox. That's why I don't have kids.
No, of course. Of course.
That and my back problems, you know, what right. am I here? I have a surrogate for no reason. I'm like not rich or important, and I have a surrogate. Okay. Anyways, the state of food in this country and food media and celebrity and brands, we're in a bad spot, folks.
Yeah.
This is weird. This is weird shit right now. Yeah. TikTok has made it more twisted and weird.
It's very weird.
It's not even bad. I mean, like, obviously the stuff with David Chang and all of that kind of like food celebrity stuff is bad. I just fully, and again, I am just now finishing school, so now I have time to think about it again, but I haven't really fully grasped where we are right now because it is so weird. Like, I'm like, what's up? Like,
yeah, right? It is really weird. I also think that, like, there's a certain amount that is, and this is, these are things I'm just thinking of. It's not, this isn't like a theory I have.
Oh, all of the things I've said on this podcast have been fully kind of thought out, written out, vetted, edited. So, okay, Kelly, what are you going to say off the cuff?
But I think that just part of like it being Chili Crisp is interesting, and his pivot kind of away from restaurants and into a brand, which obviously there are reasons for that, but part of how it's affecting and like why that's possible from a consumer side, I think is part of what's interesting about food right now is we're at a sort of interesting like crossroads of for work from home people, I think need to feed themselves a lot more than they used to. And then because of that, there's like an influx of like insane nutritional information. Because I think work from home people were like, okay, I do have to feed my, like, I have to cook for myself. It's the only thing that makes sense, both from a health standpoint and a money standpoint.
Yeah.
And I would like to feed myself in a healthy way. And then they said, well, where do I get the recipes from? TikTok. So that's where I'll get the nutritional information from as well. And that's how you end up with people telling you to eat like 6 pounds of cottage cheese a day. And Ozempic and like all these other, like, there's just like a lot of insane nutritional information and then people making recipes to be, I mean, I just specifically think about the way that protein is being like sold right now and
once
talked
again,
about.
I'm like, what are you, my mother 10 years ago? Like, come on.
It's really, really crazy. It's really, really crazy.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And it's also probably like, I feel like everybody's just like, yeah, how do I like make money without a job? That blows. I don't want to go into a restaurant and work anymore. Can I just like sell my shit on the internet and then like people who have internet jobs buy it and eat it at home? That sounds cool. Like, I don't know. Everyone's just like, this blood, like the way we do things sucks. What can we do that's different? I don't know.
Yes,
not saying,
there
I'm not
is
giving David Chang a pass, but
definitely, there's definitely an impulse to like kind of break out of the machine, but without any actual class analysis. So it's just, how do I become a TikTok influencer?
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I just wish everything was different and that you could just like have an apartment and be an artist. It's so sad.
I know, we really like had the means. We had the means.
I know,
we had it,
dude,
figured out. 50 years ago, we had it figured out.
It's fucking sucks.
Why did we keep going?
I cannot believe beautiful people like you and I to fucking clock in and out the way we do. You know?
Right. It's that or make content.
I'm like, I can't as we record this.
Yeah,
podcast.
I know. I'm like, that would be insane.
That's so fucked.
It's degrading.
I'm also so pissed, by the way, that last year when I was like unhealthily thin because I was so stressed out and just like completely gaunt and like I was cold all the time and nobody was worried about me. I'm really bummed that that was then and now being really skinny is in.
I don't think it ever goes out of fashion, so.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Don't worry too much, you know.
I just wish it was as simple as it used to be. You know, I don't, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Give me something. Maybe God can put something in my path again.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I might be getting sent to prison, so.
That's true. That's true. Two big revelations today. One, Kelly figured out that if you turn your camera on the side, the picture is bigger for this podcast that we've been doing over Zoom for the past 2 years. And the second one is possible tax fraud. So a huge day in the Sullivan household.
I didn't know. I didn't know that if you
keep practice saying that, keep practicing that particular phrase. Like,
that's actually really good. That's really convincing. I always keep my phone in portrait mode. And so it didn't occur to me that if I turned it landscape, that then Lily and I would A, be like matching, and then B, that I would be like larger. I don't know. It didn't occur to me until today. You get there when you get there.
That's, we all have our different journeys. Yeah.
And yeah, I went to an accountant. I went to an accountant today.
Accountant is in quotation marks, by the way, for me. But
as I told Lillian, I really can't say more. But his business card says just his name, his phone number, and then multi-services.
What color is the card?
It's black. He was wearing Gucci sneakers. He's a Virgo Libra cusp. I love him. And I love him.
That's a start of a beautiful love story, Kelly. You guys are both going down.
Yeah, big time. Big time.
No, he's the bigger fish. They're going to fucking get you to put it. They're going to give you a, they're going to plea you out.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, isn't that part of why you use an accountant is then, like, they do the filing for you. So then you kind That's of haven't done anything wrong.
I don't know, Kelly. I don't commit fucking tax fraud. So I don't know who gets fingered for the fucking crime.
I don't
crime,
know. Anyway, okay? Guys.
Hey, thanks to new patrons supporting us through Kelly's trial. You're going to be paying for her attorney. So Casey and John.
Yeah, and John.
Hey, welcome to the fold. We've got good stuff coming for you. And thanks to all our listeners. Happy to be back.
We love you.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.